The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. We're not exactly shifting gears. We're going to continue on with Pastor Guy Asherman. He's here from Reading Christian Fellowship. And if you're listening to us on the East Coast, it's okay. It's you know, your basic Christian church. Yeah. You have them too. I just don't know what they're called.
They're called Christian
churches. They're just called Christian churches, I think. Yeah, probably. So, you know, we were talking the first hour. We were chatting with Shelley from CareNet, and if you've missed that hour, I do hope you go back and listen to it. There are some creepy, scary laws coming, and if California's doing it, unfortunately, we're broadcasting from the hub of stupidity here. And actually, it's like the hub of evil at this point, because this is just not a good direction to take. So you had pointed out some stuff that I think people should probably hear. We get all the good intel on the break.
Well, you know, you're so right about this dark and light, that even in churches we're afraid to call sin sin anymore.
Oh, yeah, because that would be mean.
It'd be mean. It would be intolerant. You would be a bigot, you know. So even within our Christian communities, we have become a little bit hesitant to buy into the language of the Scriptures. And we kind of hide that underneath being culturally sensitive. And in the name of cultural sensitivity, we have watered down the message of light versus dark so much so that people can't even see the difference anymore. Well, because in large part, there isn't that much of a difference. But as a message of hope, and many churches, many, many, many churches do believe that the darker it gets, the lighter the light will shine.
That's true.
The brighter it will shine. And the contrast is going to become greater and greater. And so I just tell people, let it shine, you know. And the Lord will take care of all of the rest of it, whatever that means. But we were talking during the break about this idea of belief systems. And I think that's what you were asking about. Mm-hmm. I think that we have this notion that a secular society, which we are, is a neutral society. And I want to suggest that there is no worldview, there is no philosophy that is neutral. Every system of belief or unbelief is a system of belief. So there are people today, many, many of them in this country, who are saying, well, I don't believe. Well, what they mean by that is I don't believe in God. But they definitely do believe in something.
Sure, they've got a view.
Sure.
They've got a personal opinion or a personal view.
Over everything.
Well, even if you're an atheist, that's a belief in something.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a belief in...
Well, it's a belief in science, it's a belief in rational thinking, and yada, yada. There are things that we're trying to build in this country by design that I disagree with. This idea of diversity that says that we can all be as diverse as we want to be, and we're all free to be whoever we want to be. The problem is that whatever group happens to be in power is not going to let everybody else do it.
Yeah.
Christians, of course, have been accused of that for centuries. Interestingly enough now, it's the shoe's on the other foot. And I don't think it means that one is worse or bad more than the other. I think it just points to the reality that we all live by a worldview. We all live by a system of belief or unbelief that elevates to some level, ours over yours. Otherwise, we wouldn't believe it, right?
Right.
So obviously, I have a belief system that I think is better than others, because if theirs was better, I would then have their belief system.
You would
system.
Join them.
Right. So what is coming, and I think that there is a very strong spiritual element with this, and I don't know that I can articulate it well. I need to work on it. But it is interesting to me that when people change in their worldview, they don't change in one area or two. It seems like people are going lock, stock, and barrel with this or with this. And so when people say, by way of, you know, I'm neutral, I'm secular, I don't have any biases or prejudices, I find that these people actually buy into a whole arena of systems.
They're usually super hardcore biased against people who have a religious worldview.
Yeah.
And it's ugly.
It is very ugly.
I mean, all you have to do is go online and look at any article that broaches this subject, and you see the really
venom.
Extreme, really extreme. Which
well,
is
a lot of what you hear, too, is people say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. That's where all the problems start. So I just practice in my own way. What do you say about that?
Well, I don't know that a person has to be a part of organized religion. I'm not altogether sure I know what they mean. I'm not altogether sure they know what they mean. Obviously, our walk with God is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Our salvation, our experience of having our sins forgiven, and the gifting of eternal life, that has powerful, powerful impact on people's lives. Usually, however, when people say, well, I'm not a part of organized religion, is their way of saying, I just reject the message of religion altogether. It's kind of a...
And I'm all for silencing them, by the way.
Yeah.
Usually. That's the...
Well, that's the other
very
part
next.
Of it. That's the other part of it is,
yeah,
is I want to believe what I believe, but I don't want you to be able to organize against my belief.
I actually have a comment about this idea of choosing what it is that we believe. The word heretic in the New Testament, the Greek word, is actually a word that can be translated, one who chooses. And I don't even think that Christians have a right to choose what they believe. We either believe truth or we don't.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So this smorgasbord idea of I'm going to pick and choose whatever it is that I think meets best with my needs is actually the definition of heresy. There's no room for that in Scripture. I know people love that, and that's it's part of our pop psychology, pop Christian kind of society we live in. But from the strictest standpoint, from the Word, I don't. God tells me what to believe. I don't decide what to believe.
But having said that, how do we justify all the different Christian?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say religion, denominations.
Right.
How do we do that? Because I think a lot of the denominations spring from previous denominations that maybe believed in something that they didn't believe in, so they broke away and started their own.
Ditched the part they didn't like.
Ditched the part they didn't like, and now we have our own.
Sure. Well, I think the church has not been real good at choosing what hill do we die on. They have not been real good at deciding what are the majors versus what are the minors in the things that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we live in a very diverse Christian world today with all kinds of different denominations, hundreds if not thousands of them, I would venture to say that a vast majority of those would agree collectively with 95% of what the other is teaching.
Yeah.
But because we do choose to major on minors, we choose those little areas sometimes to be an element that we decide to break off on. Now, I don't know that that's bad. We fellowship with people that we have the most harmony with in terms of how we feel, how we worship, and those kinds of things. So I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. But when it comes time to be a fellow stone thrower at a common enemy, those differences need to go away. That's probably not the best analogy in
right.
the world to use. But I can stand with any church in Redding, California, against certain things that are a threat to all of us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we're going to sit
the
down together and
worship. The problem is, what happens, it's weird. I mean, I'll just be offensive. We turn into the French, when there's a threat. The terror level goes from run to hide.
Yeah.
And so the French are actually doing a pretty good job these days. All those jokes are kind of not right anymore, but
right.
The churches kind of hide, like this issue of the pregnancy centers.
Yeah.
I wonder how many churches will actually come out and support them, seeing that it's their issue, when it's kind of like, hey, they're not here for us. So,
well, I think a lot of them are really, really afraid to be on the front line.
On the radar,
yeah, exactly,
and end up being on somebody's government list. And lose their, which I don't know if it's ever been done. They always say, well, I don't want to lose my nonprofit status as a church, so I'm not going to push the envelope.
What
here,
would happen if they did that? What would happen if churches collectively just said, hey, you know what? We don't care. You can't hold that over us anymore. Fine. tax us.
Well, that would be wonderful if all the churches did that. The problem is all the churches
won't. Well, they won't.
But
what if they did? I mean, would that, is that really a deal breaker?
It's more complicated, and let me explain
yeah,
why.
Yeah, that I guess, because I hear this a lot.
The idea of the church being exempt from the sovereignty of the state, we happen to think that the church itself is sovereign under God. We also think that the government is sovereign only under God. But we do not think the government is over the church, and we do not think the church is over the government. It doesn't mean that God isn't in both. It just means as an organization, the church and the state are different entities, but they can still have the same beliefs, as obviously our founding fathers had the same belief as the
Well, our founding fathers did, but I guess I have to take issue with that. I'm not sure our government does support a godly view at this point.
No, I don't think they do either.
No.
No, not at all. But getting back to this idea of sovereignty and taxation, the government hasn't forever been giving, since 1776, tax-exempt status to churches. In fact, the IRS Form 1023 that you have to fill out in order to get a 501c3 status actually says you don't have to file it in order to be a church. But what has happened is, Christians are cooperative. We're good people. We want to help the state. We don't want to be stick in the muds. We understand that government has responsibilities under God. And so are there people who are abusing the nonprofit status? Clearly there are people who abuse that. So we work with, we help, and so forth. But the idea of actually being sovereign and not a subject of the state, the idea that we actually cannot be taxed by the state, is not determined whether or not we have a slip of paper in our file somewhere that says the government tells us we can or cannot be taxed. What determines whether or not a church is taxed is determined by the sovereignty of Jesus over his church. So if the state comes in and taxes the church, and the church pays it, the church is acknowledging that the state is over the church and the church is subject to the government. So whether or not they give us that classification or not, and churches, by the way, very divided on this issue, almost all of them.
Really?
They don't even want to talk about it.
No.
But
gone from run to hide.
Yeah. But churches today, we don't pay taxes not because the government says so. We don't pay taxes because Jesus is Lord. It's his church. They're here people as they assemble. Now, as individuals, clearly we pay taxes. As individuals, I am a subject of the state, and I do have to obey that law. But the assembled group of believers that we call church, that the Bible calls church, is an entity that is owned by Jesus Christ. And Jesus, believe it or not, Uncle Sam, does not owe taxes to you. Jesus Christ is actually above you. It's not under you.
All day.
Yeah, every day.
All day, every day. We have to take a really quick break. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be right back. Probably not going to hear that one either.
The 60s was a decade of enlightenment, wasn't
it? Really was. Can you believe it? I play a lot of 60s music. It all has meaning. So somebody sent me this. I modified it a teeny bit because it had political parties that I frankly didn't think it fit. But
okay.
To all our liberal listeners, please accept please accept with no obligation, implied or implicit, our best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral celebration of the winter solstice holiday practiced within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice or secular practices of your choice. That's a very long sentence. I have to keep breathing. With respect for the religious, secular persuasion and or traditions of others or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. We also wish you a fiscally successful, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of the generally accepted calendar year of 2016, but not without due respect for the calendars of other choices of other cultures whose contributions to society have helped make America great. Not to imply that America is necessarily greater than any other country, nor that only America in the West is that only America is in the Western Hemisphere. Also, the wish is made without regard to the race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, or sexual preference. And then to all our conservative listeners, Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Thank you, Tom, from Palisadro. I read that last night, and I was like, oh, my gosh, isn't that just the hell
of it? It's about the way it's got to be.
Good grief.
It's terrible. It really is.
It's just about that stupid.
Yeah. Because secularism is not neutral.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you have to have, I mean, honestly, all those disclaimers are things that we read about all the time.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. How do you ever arrive at a, it's no wonder we can't get anywhere, you know?
Sure.
We can't fix it. People are like, well, we can't fix anything. Well, we can't fix it because we can't talk about it.
Right.
You know, Brown University has to have an underground group where they talk about, where they can talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secret club.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah. Well, a politically correct system that we now live under has eliminated our freedom of speech. I think we all know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's judging everything on the basis of their values and not anybody
else. Freedom of speech today has definitely got a price
tag. Well, it has consequences.
Yes.
Can I read a couple quotes?
Please do.
With you guys? This is from Daniel Webster. I'm going back to our founding fathers, okay? And he makes a statement that certainly grabs my attention. To preserve government, we must also preserve morals. Morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes impaired and corrupt, laws are a nullity and constitutions are a waste of paper.
Hmm.
He's right.
No, absolutely.
Because it is a piece of paper with words on it, and then if we as a charactered or uncharactered people, either we have it or we don't, or mm-hmm. some gray areas in between, but the more corrupt we become in terms of our view of human nature, in terms of our views of God, that in fact the Constitution does not support us because our form of government requires a charactered people who govern themselves. That's what freedom is. Freedom is not the right to do anything you please to do. Freedom means you have the right to govern your own life without us imposing, you know, how you should live your life. The problem today is that we've become so irresponsible socially and morally that we don't manage our own lives. So there takes this big, huge monster of a bureaucracy that has to step in and say, okay, we're in charge now because obviously you can't handle it.
Yeah, the government is our new morality.
But we allow that. Oh.
We do. It's our
totally
fault.
It's our fault.
Yes. No question. Mm-hmm. No question. I wanted to share a couple of other things in regards to this idea that unbelief is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking for decades about the Humanist Manifesto. I'm assuming that perhaps that's something you guys know of. Humanism is not humanitarianism. Listeners need to know it's
two
different
things. Yeah, it's not excessive
things.
Niceness.
It's not. Humanism is a philosophy, a worldview that has an agenda. It doesn't include God, so they don't call it a belief system, but clearly it is a belief system. Here are some things that they say. And I'm quoting now from the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2. The Humanist Manifesto 1 was like 1933. The second one was 1973. And as I read that document, and I encourage all your listeners, it's a very, very small, thin paperback. It takes an hour to read it. But as I read through this, I'm saying, you know what? They've done it. From 1973, they said, this is what we're going to do, and they have done it.
Well, it's the long game.
It is the long game,
yep.
And we get impatient, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But this is what they say about salvation. They say salvationism is harmful, diverting people with false hopes of heaven thereafter. Reasonable minds look to other means for survival. Humanism offers an alternative to faith that can serve present-day needs and guide humankind toward the future. The next century, which would be the one we're currently in, they said in 1973, the next century can be and should be the humanistic century. So you begin to see a part of what their belief system and structure is. Yes, they don't believe in God, but it's not just a neutral position on who God is. It is an antithetical position. If I could read some more, is that okay?
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
Have a field day. I'm linking the Humanist Manifesto online as we speak.
Awesome. They say traditional moral codes fail. Messianic ideologies cannot cope with existing world realities. They separate rather than unite people. Truth has a way of doing that, right? Traditional dogmatic and authoritarian religions do a disservice to the human species. Belief in the supernatural, it is either meaningless or irrelevant to the question of survival and fulfillment of the human race. We are non-theists. Well, they're actually anti-theists. So that's the philosophy that has captured our society today. This is who we are.
Well, it's an easier path to follow. You don't really have the big rules anymore. You know, you do what feels right to you, and nobody will judge you. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine.
And there's never consequences.
Never consequences.
No.
And the sad part is that takes a long time to really seep into our society, but more and more people are believing it now, and it is coming to pass.
It is.
And that's why I say I just wish the Christian community could somehow unite, because there's so many things, like you said, that we do agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's unite on those things, and that would be probably the strongest and largest voting block in this country, even though we aren't a Judeo-Christian country.
I think something like 34% of Christians voted.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah. I don't know what the percentage is for the general population, but it just seems like we as Christians, we're the ones that do the most screaming and hollering, and yet we don't get out and do anything about it.
Well, it's all about perfection. You know, if it isn't, we were talking about...
If it isn't Jesus.
Well, and we killed him, so obviously we're not even really all that accepting of perfection.
Right.
But we keep looking for it.
Sure.
I think that's going to be the trick in 2016, is to help people understand that, well, not voting has a consequence. Again, that not belief system is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
The people who didn't vote in 2012 did vote.
Exactly.
Not playing isn't.
Yeah.
So, it has consequences.
Absolutely. So do you have any ideas on how to get the Christian vote out? I mean, is there any, like, magic bullet that nobody has discovered yet to get these people out and vote?
Well, many churches do have, you can register to vote. We don't tell people what party they should register for. And so we do, a lot of churches do take significant steps to get people involved with it. We oftentimes teach, especially around election time, that, you know, if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so please get out and vote, and please vote your biblical values. And so we're trying. We're not quite sure what the magic answer to that is.
Well, people will say all the time, you know, I don't want to pick the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And
so I just won't vote.
So I won't vote.
Well, by not voting, they have picked the greater of two evils.
Exactly.
Yes. They've chosen the third worst choice.
Yeah. And I don't think folks really understand that. I think they get this year. Let's face it, this year is going to be frustrating politically.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of bad things
happen. I think we're going to have to vote for the best worst candidate. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's the way it's got to be.
Well, there are no perfect people.
There are no perfect candidates.
I mean, I always laugh. I tell people, I'm going to pick somebody who doesn't hate the country. So pick somebody who doesn't hate the country, who doesn't hate the citizens, and who isn't maybe a socialist, communist, or Marxist.
Yeah, good luck.
You know, I guess my needs are preferably, they're getting smaller.
Yeah.
And
I, you know, in all honesty, and I think this goes back to what we talked about earlier, that this is our fault, Bill, that I don't think a politician...
Yeah, Bill.
I didn't say Bill is the fault. I said it's not our fault. Bill said
I misunderstood.
But that,
I turned over the rock.
No, in agreement to what you have said, I don't think politics is going to save this country.
No.
And I don't even know what qualifies as a definition of save this country. I think we mean returning to some values that we used to have. But if we're not prepared as a people in terms of our own character, of accepting responsibility for our lives and making good moral choices, a politician isn't going to be able to help us. Politicians that we have are simply a reflection of who we, the voters, have put into
place.
That's
the funny part. Yeah. You know, people will complain all the time, well, we need to get rid of, you know, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Like, I think she gets like 80% of the vote in her district.
Right, yeah.
That's not our, I mean, we don't have the ability to get rid of her. But they look at it like the people in Congress elected themselves.
Yeah.
Like they voted for each other.
Yeah.
Like they're all from different districts. They don't even get to vote
for
each other.
The bottom line is they got elected by the people in their district. So let's take a look at the district and see what's going on there.
Yeah. And a lot of times those are places where people stay at home.
And if it's not working out well for you, let's redraw those lines of those districts to make sure that we can get reelected.
But you look at like the Al Frankens of the world and you think, what? You know, how did that happen?
Yeah. But I do think that there has to be a cultural revival. Before anything is going to change. And, of course, from my worldview perspective, I think that that means God needs to intervene and we need to see hearts changed individually, heart by heart by heart, is how we have to be able to see the fruit of our faith being lived out in our communities, which then in time has a greater impact upon what our whole culture and society is.
Well, you see it, you know, just in case people weren't sure that we were in like a good versus evil, I don't think it gets more clear than the, you know, the whole Muslim thing where they're going to chop off people's heads and things like that. It doesn't really get more evil than that.
Yeah. How do you not see this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious. It isn't like it's a subtle, subtle mind war, you know?
Yeah.
Now we're going to come right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Oh, I thought we lost Bob. You were napping. I could see you napping over there. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Song of the year.
We need a driver.
Yeah, please. Please take the wheel. It's not going well. We're careening. You're rejoining We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Pastor Guy Asherman. We're kind of talking about, I don't know, New Year stuff. Christianity. Last year wasn't a good year for Christians.
This year's going to be worse.
I think this year's going to be a ton worse. I hate to be a negative Nancy.
It's going to be a very testing year.
And for those folks that follow us online, I did find kind of an interesting list of the top 10 most read stories of the persecuted church. It was 2015 in review.
Mm.
And it has all those linked. And the pictures, you know, the classic pictures, crosses being taken off churches, a boatload of refugees, and the guys in the orange jumpsuits with the scary ISIS guys behind them. Was that kind of year.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't see that changing, do you?
Well, I don't think we have the resolve or the conviction. It gets back to right and wrong.
Yeah.
And there is also a real fundamental basic difference in our understanding of what's wrong with mankind. Because, you know, the word on the street today is that you know, these poor people who are cutting people's heads off, they have been rejected and they've been ridiculed. And, you know, it's whatever we have done to them as a country, to other countries, that has made them hate us. We're very naive about this idea that human nature is good. If you're nice to people, they will be nice back. That's not true.
Yeah,
we as human beings, including myself, we have a great capacity for evil. And without the direction, of course, from my worldview, it would be the leadership of God in my life that says there are things you can do and things you shouldn't do, God.
Sure.
Wise up, or I'm going to knock you alongside the head. And I didn't mean that literally. I guess I have to be careful here.
No, you really don't.
It feels like
actually.
A living room sitting here, you know, and I have to remember that, no, there's more people listening.
There are other people out there. That's okay. They'll get over it.
And that's the whole thing also with humanism. Mm. I applaud some of their ideals. They want a better world. They want a happier world. They just happen to believe that if we are kinder and nicer, that we can produce that. I think that we have too many thousands of years of human history that indicates that it's not quite that easy. And there are people who are evil. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's associated with whatever their religion is. Are there Christians who are evil? There sure are.
Sure.
And so, you know, fundamentally we have to evaluate our faith in mankind. You either have a faith in God or you have a faith in mankind, or, you know, some gray areas in between there. But I think that an awful lot of the secular folks today, they have a greater faith in mankind than I do. I'm not that optimistic. Is that terrible?
No, because you look at it and you think, okay, the good people, again, have kind of moved their terror threat from run to hide. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, you at first maybe you run away from it,
right.
But at some point, you know, I always think about our, we had this dog, he used to like to chase cats, but he was really afraid of them.
Yeah.
And so he'd run and run and run, and if the cat...
Until he caught him.
Well, the cat would stop. Like, yeah. There was this one time he's running to beat the band, he's a little dog, you know, he's running along, mm-hmm. and the cat stops, turns around and faces him, and he, if he could have been whistling, he like walked by like... like hardly saw you there. Whoa, almost ran right over you. You know, it's like, and that's kind of what we're doing as a society. Mm-hmm. Is we chase it. When it turns around and stares us in the face, it's like, woo, didn't know that was coming.
It's all rhetoric.
We don't.
No action.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I think sometimes it's, again, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're a.
Right. You know. Right.
And at some point, we're going to have to kind of call that and say, you know, I don't think you can take over our whole country. I don't think you can come here and blow things up and kill people. And
it doesn't matter what your religion is. You're going to kill people.
Yeah. And it isn't workplace violence, and we know that. And it isn't,
but,
you know, all those things.
I think we're starting to see the general attitude of people starting to change a little bit. I mean, we've been going through this now for this whole PC thing for a lot of years. And I think it's crested. I think it's got to the point now where people are a little
bit... No, people are swinging so far the other way.
And I think that's human nature, is to really swing hard the other way before we get back to a neutral position. But I think people are finally starting to realize that there are people out there that don't think like we think, that aren't raised like we were raised, that don't like us and want to kill us. Mm-hmm. And
well, and then let's go a little farther to my favorite topic, wolves. You know, we need to have apex predators, you know, right there on the edge of our community.
Well, we are swinging hard.
I know. See, you see me go?
Yeah.
Well, it's because, you know why? Because I was reading this humanist thing, their little list of affirmations. Mm-hmm. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Mm-hmm. Two thumbs down. Humanism believes that man is part of nature. Mm-hmm. See how I got there?
We're an animal.
Yeah. And that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. And it's like, what?
I think
Bill's mom's going on a trip to Ecuador. So I said, well, what's going on in Ecuador anyway? Over Christmas, you know. And she goes, well, I don't know. So I looked on my phone. I thought, well, let's get some fun facts for you. So I'm looking at the population, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, in Ecuador, animals, bugs, trees, and, like, flora and fauna have rights. They have lawyers. They get to have lawyers.
We're kind of there. We're kind of there.
No, I'm super not kidding. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh.
Yeah, your mom's going to a place where she could be tried by a leaf. That's not good.
She won't be tried by a leaf.
But and it's not the $60,000 car.
There might be a leaf on the jury, but...
Yeah. Some moss of your peers.
But I agree with you, Bill.
But how nutty is that?
I think that hopefully we have turned a corner. And
I have to believe we have. I just kind of see that.
It's gone far enough?
Yeah.
We've gone to the precipice, looked over, and we're coming back.
It's so ridiculous that even those who are for it are kind of shying away from it because it's like, no, I don't want to be associated with that. That's too crazy for me.
Right, right.
This thing that happened down in San Bernardino, it took us a week or two to say it was terrorism.
Right.
You know, in France, that day they were calling it terrorism.
I know. See,
you
know, they've...
Because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody who blows people up. You know, yeah. It's absurd.
Well, they're raiding their churches over there, and they're finding all sorts of stuff. Gee, imagine that, that they're teaching people how to be terrorists there, that they're storing weapons, that they have videos showing you how to build bombs in these, quote-unquote, churches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are not churches.
Right.
Those are training points.
That's exactly right.
And unfortunately, we don't seem to be willing to say that. And oddly enough, I mean, the same thing with our environmental policy. You know, we're not willing to say that some of this stuff is completely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're the guys, the show right before us, and we were reading a little bit about it online with the Hammond family up in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They had a fire that burned off their property onto public land, and now they're being put in prison? A 70-year-old man going to prison?
Didn't they have like a local militia group kind of show up here recently?
Yeah, which they weren't happy about because then it sort of messed up their message. But but bottom line is, why are we putting people in prison for...
doing what the land needs.
Yeah, and it burned over the line, you know. But look at the EPA. They poisoned a whole river. And, oh, I'm sorry, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oops.
Yeah. It's very interesting. We're seeing those really radical inequities. You know.
I saw one today.
Yes.
Before our services started, I was just kind of reading through, surfing a little bit. What's the latest? Because if something happens that's drastic, I need to mention it in church, right?
Oh, sure.
So I'm just reading through, and I saw this article. Governor Jerry Brown has some property just a short ways from Williams.
Yeah.
And he has a little shed on it that is big enough to put an air mattress in to sleep on. And he also has an outhouse. And so he loves it there. He's, you know, he goes there like many weekends during the year, and they love it and everything. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, outhouses are illegal, Governor Brown. In the state of California, it's illegal to have an outhouse.
Really?
It is.
I did not know that.
It is. And so
we have outhouse police now?
We do, yes. We have police for everything.
Okay. They're the same ones that police you if you try to... put water on your driveway during the drought.
Oh, yeah.
Same guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Bill is still bitter about that.
I drifted
that.
There.
Well, all I'm saying is that even the people who are passing these laws, I don't think they believe
don't
them either.
Them.
Yeah. No.
Well, you see that a lot. You see that a lot with the agency things, and they can get away with whatever they want.
Another example that I came across here a couple of weeks ago talking with some folks who worked for Cal Fire, they can get as much overtime as they want. If they're fighting a fire, they're not required to log in, log out this many hours and so forth. But if they have a contractor who's out there helping them, they are restricted. So we're making laws that everybody else in the private sector has to abide by, but we don't have to.
Right.
It's very common.
The government doesn't have to.
Right.
Right.
That's the same property near Williams that Governor Brown looked into to see if it was frackable.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right.
That's why I was chuckling.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was it frackable? They got mad at him that he was even asking. Was
it? Evidently it is.
Oh, my God.
But he's against capitalism and growth and, you know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going to be...
But if it's on my property, it's okay.
Woohoo! Cash cow!
Yeah.
I know.
If the property ends up in the state of Jefferson, how awkward will that be?
Oh. Kind of awesome, actually. I feel like we took him hostage. Or gave him back, actually.
He would move.
Yeah, we'll trade you out.
Yeah, I don't think he would be in power.
Well, it is kind of that kind of thing, that type of inequity, that's brought down civilizations in the past.
You know, if for those readers who, you're exactly right. It does bring down, because people have no confidence or trust in anybody. But for your readers who are familiar with the scriptures or have an interest in it, in Isaiah chapter 59, there is a very, very good description of this idea that truth has fallen in the streets and equity or fairness is not allowed to enter. And those who try to stand up for what is right make themselves prey to those who are against you. And that's the way it is today. The more we stand up for what is right, the more people attack us, the more we become hunted and sought after by those who want to silence our message. And I think that's, you know, it was true 3,000 years ago, and it's kind of true today. And I guess it's been true off and on through civilization
But it's really becoming obvious.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, even within, it just seems like everybody's having a thing. I was just looking at the Saudi Arabia severs diplomatic ties with Iran. Because they killed somebody. They killed the Shiite cleric.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, we're going to take our ambassador guys back. We're going to close our deal. You're out.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to be able to figure it out.
No, I don't think so. The world is very confused. Our country is very confused. And there's actually some biblical references to the confusion that comes.
We're doing smoke signals over here.
So, yeah, interesting times. I've been terribly negative here today. I think...
Not that we've given you any material.
No, right. From a positive standpoint,
yeah.
I think conscience and self-respect are two very, very incredibly important attributes for people to have. And... I think what matters is that each of us individually lives by the dictates of our own conscience, no matter if anybody else is or not. Because then we're able to hold our chin high and say, I did what I believe to be right in my conscience before my God. I respect myself for standing firm. I'm not angry because I didn't. By the way, I think that that's why the entitlement nation is so angry today, is because we have deprived people from self-respect.
Yes.
And when you lack self-respect, you're an angry person. And I think, you know...
Well, you just don't have the value. You don't have the self-worth that allows you to stand up and be proud of yourself.
We never gave them the opportunity to go after it themselves. We bailed a little bit too soon for a lot of folks. And that's not to be unkind to people who genuinely need it. Don't misunderstand me. But, you know, hold your head high, believe what you believe, stand for it, and whatever happens around us, it happens.
It's interesting. This just came in my email. The devil whispers, "You cannot withstand the storm." And the warrior replies, "I am the storm."
Yeah, it's good.
Like, that'd be like our year this year. All right, we're going to come right back. Take one last quick break. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. That one we can play today, because that's always a good song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in our last, you know, 5-6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have for folks?
Let me give you another quote or two. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
This was a statement made by John Adams, one of our founders and second president of the United States. He says, Statesmen may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. There was a very clear understanding in the founding of our country that if freedom is going to exist, it has to exist because people have the capacity to govern their own lives. Faith in God certainly helps us to be able to do that. And then he says something that's really quite startling. He says, we have no government armed in power, capable of contending in human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
As we're watching right now.
Yeah.
As we try to force our government on people that have never been governed like that.
Yeah, but even in our own system, people want we need to stop this, that, or the other. And it's like, hey, read your Constitution. Mm-hmm. There is no provision for lawless.
Right.
I mean, we were never designed to have a lawless
executive
branch. I mean, whoever thought we'd have a president who just broke the law all the time?
Right, right.
There's no rule in there for that. That right. was the rule.
The rule was, take care of yourselves, people. And when you stop taking care of yourselves, then we're going to have to do it for you. And we're all, and today our society is saying, okay, take care of me. But we surrender our freedom for security, right? Mm-hmm. And who was
and then we get neither.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 When we swap over, then we get nothing. So we're watching the Second Amendment is going to have heavy weight put on it this year.
Yeah.
Well, they're already,
Tomorrow night he's going to make some kind of a address to the nation about some kind of executive action he's going to make on gun control. That's tomorrow.
That'll go over well.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
And then we're going to chip away at, I think we've already chipped away significantly at First Amendment.
Very much so.
And now we're going to infringe on the churches.
Mm-hmm. We're no longer a nation of laws. We used to be. We're no longer. We're a nation of whims. And whoever's in charge gets to just willy-nilly make their own choices.
Or just pick the laws we want to abide by.
Yeah, enforce those we like.
That's right. And totally ignore the rest of them.
Sure.
Yeah, and what do you do about that? You know, something will go to the Supreme Court to be interpreted. And they've been all over the place.
We don't have much confidence there either.
No. So we are kind of flying without a net a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you advise people? Like when you talk about this at in your church, what do you tell folks?
About specifically?
Take a deep breath, take care of your own stuff. I mean.
Yes, sort of. I say it's your life, be responsible for it under the Lord's guidance. And, it's not anybody else's job to do that. It's your job to do that. And
And pray like your country depends on it?
Yeah. Yeah, work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And, I think that we need to be involved. I think that Christians have been pushed aside. I also think that there is an element in our Christianity that has isolated itself because we didn't like people calling us names, so we just all went into the corner and sucked our thumb and stayed away from it all. We're a little bit too sensitive in this arena that is quite vicious nowadays in political circles, that we're nice people. We don't want to get engaged with this unnice kind of communication. And I think that we just have to, we're going to take a few shots on the chin, but that's okay. Get involved and live, number one, live your values. Number two, vote your values.
Exactly.
If you have to choose between the two, live is more important.
Yeah, this isn't the year to pull in your horns and hide. This is the year to be out front, or we'll be ruled by more bad people.
And I'm not sure we're going to stop it. But
if we don't try,
we have to try.
We know for sure we're not going to.
And we'll have the self-respect of knowing we tried.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Thank you, guys.
It's going to be an exciting and interesting year. So for folks that are listening, jump online, wethepeopleradio.us, and shoot us your suggestions, people that we can have on this year, folks you'd like to hear from, especially stories that need more than, 5 minutes to be told. We're working on getting some of the information from Oregon. Everybody's hearing about that these days on the Hammond case. So we're working to get somebody who can give us the full story.
By the way,
that'll be a biggie.
I'm hoping that we can do another rally in August and have Doug Amalfa there. I also want to have Brian Daly there, our local representatives. I'm also going to get some attorneys, some Christian attorneys up, and
nice.
we're gonna talk in pretty good detail about
give people
good.
Something to do.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much
Thank
for being
for
with
on.
Us.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
See you next week. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bob. Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.
Join us online at WeThePeopleRadio.us.